Hi, this is Patty Scalzo, welcoming you to the Bible study program, Shiar Jashub, brought to you by the Church of Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle in Madison, Connecticut. Today, we will begin the next sermon in my husband, Pastor Greg Scalzo's series on the Book of Romans.
Today, we'll continue our study in the book of Romans. Last week, we started the introduction to the book. We had some background about what the church was like, the believers at Rome. We saw the origin of the church. We saw the large Jewish influence of the large number of Jewish believers in Italy. And if you remember last time, we said that the time of the writing, that Paul wrote this letter sometime between A.D. 56 and A.D. 58, with late winter of 56-57, the late winter of 56-57, or the early spring of 57 being the most reasonable date. This letter to the Romans was written during Paul's third missionary journey. And the place of the writing, there's several different indications. In Romans chapter 16 and verse 1, Paul writes toward the end of the letter, he says, I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church in Cenchrea, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed, she has been a helper of many and of myself also. So this Phoebe is a servant of the church, at Cenchrea. And Cenchrea is a seaport town. It's the eastern port of Corinth. It's 7 miles east of Corinth. It's one of the main ports of Corinth. And most likely, most believe that she's the one, based on how he writes this in Romans 16:1, that took the letter from Paul and brought it over to the church at Rome. So it would sound like the letter originated someplace around Corinth. In Acts chapter 19, Luke says that toward the close of Paul's 3 years evangelization of Ephesus. That was a large part of the third missionary journey, if you remember our study in the book of Acts. The 3 years evangelization of Ephesus and the province of Asia, Asia Minor, that Paul planned to visit Macedonia and Achaia, which were the focus of the earlier missionary journey, and then go to Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 21, in Acts chapter 19, you have Paul at Ephesus, and says in verse 21, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. Now remember, Macedonia is that mountainous country that's north of Greece, right? It's in Europe. When Paul comes over from Asia Minor, he goes first into Macedonia. He's crossing from Asia into Europe. And Macedonia is the northern part, north of Greece, the northern part of that Balkan Peninsula. In Macedonia, you have, in the province of Macedonia, you have Philippi, you have Thessalonica. And then as you travel south of the Balkan Peninsula, you have Achaia, the Roman province of Achaia. And that's the name for what the majority of what we know today is Greece. And there you have Athens, and there you have Corinth. So he's saying that as he leaves Ephesus, as he leaves his work over there in Asia Minor in this third missionary journey, he wants to go back and review with a couple of the churches from the past. He wants to go through Macedonia. He wants to go to Achaia, where there's Corinth. And then he's going to head over to Jerusalem. And then he plans from Jerusalem to go to Rome. After I've been there, I must also see Rome. In Acts chapter 20 This is after the riot at Ephesus. It says in verse 1, after the uproar had ceased, Paul called the disciples to himself, embraced them, and departed to go to Macedonia. Now, when he had gone over that region and encouraged them, he's trying to build up the churches that were planted there by him. Now, when he had gone over that region and encouraged them with many words, he came to Greece and stayed there 3 months. And when the Jews plotted against him as he was about to sail to Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. And that's the route he's going to take then to sail off to Jerusalem. So he's for 3 months, he's in Greece. And a good portion of that time, he's at Corinth. And Paul spent 3 months at Corinth. And that's where most people agree. That's the time, this is the point at which he sends Phoebe to Rome with the letter, and it agrees with a lot of the internal evidence of the book of Romans. And remember at this time also that Paul is collecting gifts from the different Gentile churches in Asia Minor, in Macedonia, in Achaia, to bring with him back to Jerusalem for the impoverished Jewish believers. In Romans chapter 15 and verse 25, he says, "But now I am going to Jerusalem to minister to the saints." So at Corinth, he had ample time to write, to compose this very intricate letter, uninterrupted, and the facts fit in with the chronology. So we have the place of the writing, most likely in Achaia in Corinth. The account of Paul's journey from Corinth then to Jerusalem, remember he goes back through Macedonia, I just read that. In Acts chapter 20, verse 6, Luke says, "But we sailed away from Philippi," that's when he leaves from Macedonia, "after the days of unleavened bread, and 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. So he leaves just after the Passover, and then down to verse 16, "But Paul had decided to sail past Ephesus so that he would not have to spend time in Asia, for he was hurrying to be at Jerusalem, if possible, on the day of Pentecost." So it seems the journey from Macedonia over to Jerusalem was between the time of the Passover, that 50-day period, to Pentecost, which means that the letter to the Romans was written just prior to this in that three-month period, and that's why it's felt that it's the late winter of 56, 57, or the early spring of 57, because then that spring of 57 between Passover and Pentecost was the journey to Jerusalem. And ultimately, we know, we've talked about that when we study the address to Agrippa, Paul would indeed wind up going to Rome, but he would wind up going to Rome as a prisoner. He would appeal to Caesar. So that gives us, together with what we studied last time, that gives us the historical, the factual background of the letter. Now to the contents of the letter itself, the occasion, the purpose of the letter, Paul's goal in writing the letter. You remember last time as we ended up, I said that it was my contention that part of the purpose for Paul writing this letter was to answer the question, maybe it's unspoken, but the question, why we need Jesus. And somebody may feel that's an odd description of the book of Romans. If you read a lot of commentaries on the book of Romans, that's not often mentioned. But I believe it's a theme throughout. I believe that's why Paul develops the arguments he does, why he speaks about the gospel of grace, why he speaks about conscience, why he talks about the Gentiles and the Jews. Why do we need Jesus? And there's something that I believe we'll see it as we study it, that that is indeed the underlying theme for both the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers at Rome. There's something that happens all too often as people go astray in their lives, they're unbelievers, or they may partially believe. And all of a sudden, they're confronted with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they understand that God is real. And they come back to God, and the gospel of the Lord is a vessel that brings them back to knowing that God is real and hungering for the things of God. and their lives turn around. Their lives get cleaned up. The Jew becomes a fulfilled Jew, now concerned with the faith of his fathers, whereas before maybe he ignored those things. He wasn't even thinking about them, and he might have been very lackadaisical in knowing about the Old Testament, knowing the scriptures. Now he has interest in the scriptures of his people. The Greek that's so far away in all the imaginations now has his eyes opened. He sees the holiness of God, and all of a sudden he has a love for the Word of God, and he wants to live right. And then with time, Jesus, the relationship with Jesus Christ, the absolute necessity of being in fellowship with him, not just the things about him, not just church life, not just even the scriptures. Jesus said, you study the scriptures, these scriptures testify of me. The actual absolute necessity of having that relationship with him in truth, not just the creed, not just the song that you sing, not just the prayer that you give, but an actual living relationship starts to fade. Other things start to replace it. The Jew might start to go from one messianic congregation to another, and with each congregation, depending on the teaching, Jesus starts to get further and further in the background. They'll believe that Jesus was the Messiah, that he was sent by God, but some congregations might place him in the background as far as the importance of salvation in him and that relationship with him. And I've even seen some people in modern times who were Jews, got saved by the grace of Jesus Christ, went to Messianic congregations, and then over the years, really almost got back to Judaism. And they weren't even concerned with Judaism when they were younger. They get caught up in Judaism, and to the point that some of the synagogues they go to might deny Jesus Christ as the Messiah. And it doesn't happen overnight. It's a process of forgetting who Jesus is. And in the Gentile, the Greek churches, it's all too easy to become caught up in the rituals, in the works that are labeled Christian apart from Jesus Christ. And there's a safety point that people come to. They enjoy the church. They enjoy the history of the church. They enjoy, maybe they inherited the faith from their parents, and they're comfortable in Christianity without having that direct relationship with Jesus Christ. He tends to fade away in the background. That's really the danger of religion. Even well-intentioned, born-again Christianity can develop to a point over time where Jesus fades, that personal relationship, you to him, can fade away. And I think that's what Paul is addressing in this letter, the slide back of religion away from the real dependence on the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus.
Listen to Pastor Greg Scalzo on the web and find information about our church at shiarjashub.org and watch the live streams of our Sunday service on the Shiar Jashub Christian Tabernacle YouTube channel.